Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. What's up? It's time for the dynamic duo, Jack and Dick Watt, to come to you to teach you about truth, justice, and the American way. And folks, I mean, it just hit the fan all over the place. And we are ready to talk and to give our insights of what we think about, oh my goodness, I guess we'll start with the Super Bowl. Richard, how are you?
I'm fine, Jack. I'm kind of looking forward to a little end of the week brother time.
So. Yes, we're going to a family wedding in Jacksonville, and this is the one weekend in the year where we are certain that Richard will not have to shovel snow one weekend in the winter, which in Massachusetts can be October to June.
Yes.
Any rate, we are looking forward to that. You know, I went out and went to a Super Bowl party early, but, you know, having a lot to do, I came home just before halftime, got here and turned on the halftime show. And I mean to tell you, Dick, I watched about a minute and a half of it, and it's all I could stomach. And I thought to myself, what in the world is going on here? The Super Bowl is the most watched TV show in America. That means it's family time, and every teenage boy is watching it, and you know they're being taught, or most of them are, or a lot of them anyway, you know, to respect women and not treat them as sex objects. And so here you got, you know, the two most prominent Latino stars and very talented women. And they're just bumping and grinding and grabbing their crotches. In my entire life, Dick, I have never seen a woman do that. Never once. Not any of them. Not ever. Well, I guess cross it off our bucket list.
You got to take that back now because, my God, Rosemary Barr sang the national anthem somewhere. Rosemary spit and grabbed her crotch, and it was like, oh my God, that was disgusting. Because she thought she was a baseball player, I guess.
I don't really remember that. When once the screeching started, I turned that off too. But be that as it may, that's not a memory I would cherish anyway.
No.
All right, listen,
no.
The more important thing. The Democrats have spent all day today in their final argument, with Schiff going so far as to saying maybe Donald Trump would give away Alaska for Putin to help him in this election. And he's saying this to senators like somehow that is a possibility. Alaska is a state. You can't give away a state. And that it's just so absurd and so bizarre and so crazy.
Let me ask you a quick question, though. What has Adam Schiff said in the last 2 weeks that has had a string of truth applied to it at all? Everything he says, he's either made up or it's been a lie. I can't stand the man because he just isn't. He has not a truthful bone in his body.
You know, honestly, Dick, he is a gift that keeps on giving because he is so offensive,
isn't he?
And he's up there. And the only one who's equally as bad is Nadler. And the two of them fight for the stage. And it's just, I mean, it's just like these nasty men. And then, you know, if you...
Well, in the decorum of the Senate and, you know, the stature that goes along with, you know, an impeachment trial with the Supreme Court justice overseeing all of this, and those two horses' asses high-five each other for the crap they've come out with. I thought that was just, pardon the pun, deplorable.
I agree. It was just uncalled for, and in the setting of an impeachment trial for the President of the United States. And of course their goal, at least one of their goals, was to make Trump look so bad. But in their attempts to do this, they have just gone to great lengths to offend the American people, and we're offended.
Yeah.
I mean,
I tell you,
offended.
Though, I was a little bit surprised, I guess is the word, that in the hi-fi duo, that Nadler could actually hit his hand. I found that quite amazing that he must have jumped about 4 or 5 inches off the ground just to try and reach his arm. So,
well, that may be why Nadler wants Mike Bloomberg to be president, because the two of them see eye to eye about a lot of things.
That was actually pretty good.
I didn't have it. I just made it up as we went along. That was not a bad one.
right off the cuff. And then I heard Trump say this. Is it true that in the next debate that Bloomberg wants a box to stand on so people don't realize that he's just the shrimp boat? He said if he gets a box, do they all get a box? What's going on? I thought that was funny.
Well, he was at a speech rally and was standing on a box. There's a picture of it. I saw it today, and I thought, you know, I don't suppose that really should have anything to do with anything, but it does.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Of course it
does.
I mean, obviously
now,
the guy has a small man feeling about it, because he wants to feel like he's bigger than he is.
Yeah, and the Napoleon complex. But listen, in this whole thing, there are some things that I have found to be just really troubling, and a couple of them nobody's mentioned anything about. They keep referring to Ukraine as an ally. Ukraine is not an ally of the United States.
No.
France is an ally of the United States. So is Great Britain and
England.
Germany. They're in NATO.
Yeah.
And to be an ally, you've got to be in an alliance. If you're in an alliance, that means, and the reason for NATO is, you know, if the Russians come and attack any one of the member nations of NATO, the United States by treaty is committed to defending that other nation as if it was the United States. So that also if somebody attacked the United States, which foolishly they wouldn't, but all the rest of these nations would come to our aid too. Ukraine would love to be in NATO and be an ally, but they're not. And here's why that's important. When Russia invaded the Crimea and annexed it, if they were an ally, we would be committed to going to war against Russia over Crimea. That's why they're not an ally. We have no interest in Crimea. And we're going to go to risk thermonuclear war for Ukraine. They keep referring to them as an ally, and that literally is not true. they are a friendly nation to us and vice versa, but they are not an ally. That's something that, you know, South Korea is an ally. Japan is an ally. It, because South Korea is an ally, it keeps the North Koreans from literally attacking them because we'd annihilate them. These things are important. And when the members of the House of Representatives are making this mistake, this colossal blunder to the senators of the United States, and nobody says, whoa, wait a minute, that's not true. I think what I feel a little bit like that old quote from Vince Lombardi. What the hell's going on around here?
The hell is going on?
These things are important, and when our legislators do not even understand them, we're in trouble. I mean, it's their job. That's what we're paying them for. Not just for them to, you know, to be at the gravy train of corruption so that they can make themselves personally rich, which many of them are doing. These things matter. They matter a lot.
But you're giving them credit for, how do I put this? They have done nothing but for the last couple of months is lie and distort the truth about everything and anything that happens to do with our president. I mean, they've slandered him. They came out with, Schiff came out with what the letter, what the conversation said, and made all of this stuff. Why would you think that they would be concerned about calling another country an ally, which 99.995% of this country has no idea what the difference is with what you just said? So it doesn't surprise me.
Well, what does surprise me is that no one from their caucus makes the correction, because it isn't that somebody said it once or twice. They have said this 100 times and over the course of 2 weeks, and there has been no correction of it. That makes me concerned that people in Congress just don't know the difference. That cannot be. And if so, I mean, we really are literally being led by a pack of fools.
Well,
and you know that
I have,
you know,
I have the answer to this. I have the unequivocal answer to your dilemma at this point. When this whole thing came out about Bolton and what he had said before, and one Richard Watts told Mr. John T. Watts that there was a video about this, and one John T. Watts sent it to one Dana Perino, and it seemed almost within hours it made it onto the national stage that one John T. Watts should get Dana Perino and Senator Cruz a, why do they keep calling this an ally? And let's test our theory and see if either the radio or the senator comes out with a little, why are you people calling them an ally when they're not? Do it. Do it.
I could do that. And you know what?
Yeah.
Both Dana Perino is really smart. She's very savvy. And in my estimation, there's nobody in Congress in either house that's smarter than Ted Cruz. Now, we've got some other really sharp people, but none of them sharper than Ted Cruz. And he certainly knows the difference between these things. All right, now, we've got the Iowa caucus tonight. And
I don't understand this at all. I don't understand the caucus. I don't understand how they were talking today and saying at the end of the night, three people could claim that they won. I mean, I don't understand how this whole thing works that, well, you know, I got most of this or I got this or I don't, maybe you can go through and give me a quick 3 minute on how in the hell does this thing work? I have no idea.
In the caucus, all the people that wanted to be part of it, you know, go to the caucus, and then in the room, you know, they've got a little banner, you know, one that says, you know, says Bernie, one Mayor Pete, one, you know, Warren Alble. And so, you know, when they say people give, you know, they have delegates there that, you know, that are giving all over the state, giving a speech of why this one's better than the other. And then when they all make their little pitch, they say, all right, go stand next to the person that you support. So they all go and they stand next to the person that they support. Let's just say that in the room, 50% go to Bernie and or not 50%, it couldn't be. Let's just say 40% go to Bernie and, you know, the next four kind of split up for the rest of the 60%. The ones that are at the least are then ruled out. So the people that would be, you know, standing there for Steyer or Tulsi, you know, or
have to go find somebody else.
All the ones that are kind of the minor candidates, then they say, okay, now they're out. Go stand next to the person that you want next. So then they go until somebody has more than 50%, and then they take that that particular precinct or whatever is, you know, however they break it up, the township or whatever, and then they all report at the at the end of the evening, you know, what these things are, so that Bernie is going to win this as far as the actual numbers are concerned. But people like Klobuchar, she's kind of anticipated to do fourth or fifth. If she surprises and comes in at third place, then that is she's got some legs, so therefore she can, you know, although her legs are ugly. Anyway, but because she's got legs, you know, that gives her some momentum. So she is claiming that this is a victory for her, but the real victor will be in the truest sense, you know, the one that, you know, wins the contest. You know, I mean, I guess we could say that the other winners would be people that say, well, listen, you know, like San Francisco 49ers, they say, we are victorious because we made the Super Bowl. We lost in the end, but, you know, it's a victory because we're there. And, you know, and there's some fairness to that.
All right, but now let me ask you a question then from all of this. At what point are the actual people of Iowa voting, or do they not vote? It's just predicated on these 41.
No, that is the vote. This is the vote. It's in person. Nobody. There are no ballots in the caucus in Iowa. They do it. It's really kind of like, this is almost like the way the Puritans used to do it in the early townships. in Massachusetts, you know, before and right after the revolution. It's essentially direct democracy. And so there are no casting ballots. Now, that will happen this time next week in New Hampshire.
New York, New Hampshire, yeah.
Yeah.
Which,
now,
for all intents
and purposes,
up here, they're already saying that Bernie has got that. And at this point, Elizabeth Warren should quit because she's a neighbor, too, and she's not even in the running. We'll see how that happens.
Yeah, she's not going to do very well. I don't think. I mean, people like
Bloomberg is in neither one of these, right? Bloomberg
is not.
Didn't make the cut, or he just decided not to get involved.
He entered too late. He entered too late to do it, and so he also entered too late to even be in South Carolina the week after that. But he is in the Super Tuesday thing, so that's what he's banking on. Plus, they have changed the rules to accommodate him because they're afraid of Bernie. They do not want Bernie to be the candidate. Now, that they don't want Bernie because they don't think he stands a chance against Trump, and that's true. But
you mean because he's a communist?
Yes.
Because he's basically a communist?
Yes.
He's closer to communism than he is to socialism, if you ask me.
That's fine. He plays fairly and by the rules. That's true. He does not connive. He's just out there and is saying his message and does his thing. Because of that, and because they screwed him last time royally to keep Hillary in, and they're going to do it again this time, the fracture in the Democratic Party is going to be out and out rebellion. And if they take it away from him again, which I believe they're going to do, his supporters are saying there will be bloodshed in the street, and guess what? I believe there will
They're
be.
Right. Let me ask you another quick question. He doesn't make it in the Democrats. What's to stop him to continue to run as a third party as an independent, which he is literally an independent in the state of Vermont? See, Vermont or Maine?
I don't think there's anything that is stopping him from that. And if he decided,
but you know what that you know what to, that would do though, you know what that would do? That would be like a shoehorn for Trump. I mean, he would just waltz in then, because he would have split the Democratic Party. Yeah,
and this is what they're terrified of.
Well, hey, listen, you know, they're doing this to him. He has every right to turn around and say, hey, I'm on the ticket, but I'm not going to be a Democrat now. I'm going to be an independent. That wouldn't surprise me. Hey, the guy's 78 years old. This is his last shot at it, to say the least.
And the thing is that I would never vote for Bernie.
But I don't
like the way they've treated him. I think it's terrible what they've done to him.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, he's a square shooter. I mean, there's absolutely nothing that this man says that I believe in. But you know, God forbid, I would, you know, prohibit him from saying what he wants to say. I mean, that's the American way. He can say whatever he wants.
Exactly.
And the American way is I don't have to agree with it either.
Correct.
This isn't Russia.
This is why we are who we are and have a radio show that talks about truth, justice, and the American way. being unfair to somebody, even though we don't agree with, and we do not agree with that man, is it's just wrong what they've done to him. And as badly as we have been treated for supporting Trump, we get it. I mean, you know, this is it's just been some hard stuff. But I think that it's going to be quite a little run here. And here's the other thing.
What do you think at the end of the day today, this caucus and whatever? I mean, what do you think that has to do with any of them continuing to run, or are some of them just going to say, you know, maybe Yang or whatever, and what's her name? Even Elizabeth Warren saying, you know, I did so poorly here, I might as well just hang it up. And does it come down to financial too? I mean, if they just don't have the money to keep running.
Correct.
Yes, that's always true.
And a Warren, for example, her funding is all but dried up. So she's just about at the end of her rope. And there are others. Steyer can stay in even though he's got less than 1% because he's a billionaire. But the other part of this is that with Bloomberg coming in and spending these, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars already, and for that he's like got 8 or 10%. But you know, from his perspective, that's doing pretty well. If a billionaire can buy the Democratic Party, then everything that they stand for is a joke and a lie, and they know it. This is the other part of, you know, Bernie's a millionaire, but I mean, he's not much of a millionaire. I mean, he's got $2-3 million in you know, the great scheme of things. You know, that's a lifetime of net worth for a lot of people, but it's not much. And it's, I mean, it's certainly not much when compared to $50 billion. But you know what? Trump's a pauper in comparison to Bloomberg. Trump's worth, you know, at best $10 billion. And this guy, Bloomberg's five times better than him. And, you know, he would be the, in my estimation, the best alternative for the Democrats to have, because, you know, he is at least a successful businessman. He's crazy. You know, we don't want to have Slurpees, the big gulp, no drinks over 32 ounces. I mean, who the hell is a business of government to tell you how much Coke you can drink? I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he's apologetic now for stop and frisk, which really made New York safe. So, you know, there's just all of that going on. But this times are getting very interesting. Very, very, very
interesting. They were saying today, too, though, that the Bloomberg ad in the Super Bowl about guns and whatever really backfired on him, too. Big time backfired on him. But we'll see.
Well, it's because they don't have, you know, they don't have. Oh my goodness! I hit something on the computer and now everything is. There you go. My goodness, it just drives me nuts. Any rate, we've got 1 minute left. So, is there anything in particular that you want to say that you know that we haven't covered?
No, other than. I went to bed at halftime for the bowl last night because I didn't really want to see the Huzzies out there, and I was surprised that I wasn't surprised how it ended, but I was surprised that they pulled a pardon the pun, folks, they pulled a Brady and came back from 10 points down, but I think people need to remember Brady came back from 28-3 and beat Jack's hometown team.
Yeah, well, my hometown team is Boston, but I do love Atlanta. Anyway, we're out of time.
Yes.
God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. We'll talk to y'all next week. Bye bye.